Maybe my feet are firmly under the table and I don't realize it.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what that expression means. But let me know when you're ready, Matt. We can start. So we'll just, do you want to do the theme music? And do you have it there?
I have it right here, yeah.
Let's do it anyway because it gets you into the vibe of it, and then we'll start from there.
Okay.
And I'll do a little bit of a slight intro. And you can interrupt if you want to. I'll keep it brief.
I'm Irish. I'll always interrupt. I'll just talk over you.
And I'm Jewish, so.
Oh, dear.
That's all we do is...
It does get you into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is this you?
Stolen. This is Adam Chartoff, host of Film Wax, here at Radio Free Rhinecliff, at the Radio Free Rhinecliff studios in downtown Rhinecliff here. And this is a very special episode. This is fun. I'm really pleased that I can announce my guest today is a very talented musician, performer, guitar player, songwriter. What else?
Humble.
Well, I can say all these things. You haven't. This is Mick Lynch, who is actually, even though Irish born and bred, as I put it, he's been in Rhinecliff. We were just discussing going on 10 years now.
Yeah, we moved up to Barrytown actually in 2014, mm-hmm. Just at the tail end of September 2014. And we rented for 2 years and then we got a house in, mm-hmm. in Rhinebeck.
Wow.
So yeah, I can't believe it's been 10 years. I still feel like a blow-in.
Yeah. That's must be one of those Irish expressions, blow-in, but I think I get it.
Yeah.
Given the context.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had this, we're going to get to a lot here. Mick is actually, I invited him on because he's got a one-man show, in not far from Barrytown, actually in Tivoli, at Kotsbahn. It's a one-man show of song and stories.
Song and
autobiographically.
Stories, yeah, it's as it says in the show description, a musical experience of life, love, loss, and new beginnings.
Okay. Well, yeah. So I'm not going to make jokes when you also include loss in there. Obviously, it's going to be a whole emotional experience. It sounds like journey.
Yeah, it's very personal story. Yeah. I just said, you know, my songs that I've been writing. Uh-huh. Have been very, like, my life narrative. So I figured, you know what, this actually could work as a...
Including?
As a piece.
I want to get to the Guggenheim Grotto, Grotto.
That's easy for you to say.
I know, it's like, I've been practicing, god damn it. But, what was I going to say? So it's called the show is called An Irish Goodbye. You know, we don't want to bury the lead. It's happening again on Saturday, the 20th of April. In Kotsbahn in Tivoli.
Yes.
Some tickets are still available.
Yes, they're selling fast. I believe we're at about 75%. So, get yours now at Kotsbahn.org.
And here's a little bit of a little tip, I guess. If you're a WKZE listener, if you're in the area and you listen to we'll be giving a couple of pairs of tickets away there. Like on Monday or something like that. So, you know, you could have a chance to win free tickets, but, you know, dig into, help out local artists in a local arts culture center like Kotsbahn. That's great.
Yeah, it is wonderful. And no one cleared the free tickets with me. It's okay. I'll let this one slide.
You got to talk to Aaron, at Kotsbahn.
And I have to say, Kotsbahn as a venue is just, it's
gorgeous.
It's amazing.
Yeah, you were there last year.
Yeah, I played there last year as part of the listening room, which we made, it depends on what artists are coming through. We may do that again, but I enjoyed the show, enjoyed the space so much, and I said, I really need to use more of this space. It's got a huge screen on the back. It's got a huge stage. It's just amazing. The stage is the same size as the Met Ballet in the city, and it's their rehearsal space, so it's gigantic, and it's just such a good – the sound in there, Ash does an amazing job, but the actual venue itself is just sounds so good.
Yeah.
So I really wanted to make more use of it.
When you play there with Mary Stewart, when you did the show last year, there was a moment – actually, I was one of the group that came up. I just remembered behind you.
You were. We were.
That was fun. So I got to say I performed a Katzbahn myself.
Well, I wanted it to have a community feel, and obviously we do the Hootenanny, which is a local music collective that we play at the Trag Haven every now and then. Mm-hmm. And I just really wanted to include these people because they've become great friends in the 10 years that I've been here, and it has been a really good resource just to get to know the area.
Yeah, and from a musical standpoint, to keep you're playing regularly and
I should attend more. I feel bad I haven't been there. You know, it's just a little bit further. Been in Rhinebeck now. I used to go a lot when I was in Barrytown, but I do keep my hand in playing. I do a lot of, you know, pub gigs around the place. I have a regular at Mahoney's in Poughkeepsie. You know, just it's they're great training gigs because you're playing for 3 hours straight. Just sure. As a one man, it's just really good. You'd never do that rehearsing at home. Mm-hmm. So it keeps you in good, fine fettle, as we say at home.
All right. So I'm glad we were able to at least to get the information about the upcoming show again on Saturday, April 20th, out there. And people can go to katzbahn.org and get tickets and find out more about the show. But I do want to, since I have you to myself here, I do want to find out more about you.
Ask me anything, Adam. Anything.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
This is like therapy. I like this.
Right.
The jumper is coming off. I mean business.
I know it's a little warm in here, by the way. We do that on purpose. And then, so you know, we're sitting here in the all together.
Yeah. Thankfully that doesn't translate to radio.
So you mentioned you've been up here in the Hudson Valley for 10 years. I've only been here for 4 as a resident, and I felt immediately actually at home when I moved up here. I felt like this was meant to happen.
Yeah, I adore it up here.
You do.
It reminds me a lot of home. I love that we have the mountains right across the river. You know. It's just such a beautiful, beautiful place. And there's a lot of Irish around. There's a lot of people with Irish connections. A lot of Irish people who've come over, like me. I know a lot of them, especially across the river.
Are you talking about Easter?
Well, there's people in Durham. There's also Saugerties and a lot of people in Woodstock that I know.
Okay.
That are expats. Mm-hmm. So it's good to have that community. I'm thinking of the likes of Brendan O'Shea, who runs the open mic at the Colony. He's a great friend of mine. He's a wonderful singer-songwriter also. He's from Kerry, so it's lovely to have someone from home here. But this has become my home. You know, I absolutely adore it here.
Has any of your family come over and visited? And
yeah, a select few. I'm the youngest of 9.
Yeah,
so to get everyone over was, you know, that hasn't happened yet. But my sister Margaret was over, my sister Delia, my sister Siobhan, and my brother Ronan was over. So I've had a few of them.
Half of them,
yeah, nearly.
That's neat. And your folks?
My folks, well, my dad passed in 2017. My mother is scared of her own shadow, so she would not fly.
Right.
You know, she just, which is a shame. I'd love her to see where I live. She'd adore it here.
Yeah.
Maybe we could, you know, spike her drink or something, and she just, you know, is in Newark all of a sudden.
Right.
We say nothing.
Exactly. You know.
There might be ethical questions there, though.
Mm.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, no, I hope that would happen because, you know, it would be a very, I'm sure, incredibly special experience to have her come over here. But I assume you guys and your wife, Deb, has, of course, probably met her a bunch of times, I'm guessing, that she's gone across with.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Deb's has been, we try to get home at least twice a year. Uh-huh. The pandemic was tough. My mom was actually diagnosed with dementia during the pandemic. So, yeah, the last few years have been weird going home because I'm not around, you really see the deterioration when you're not with someone, you know, every day, like my other siblings. So I kind of, it's saddening to go home sometimes.
That's rough.
Yeah.
That's rough. I have the same, situation.
Yeah.
And it's like, not to get too dark, but oh, what the hell? You're Irish. What am I talking about?
You want it darker.
That's right. You want it darker. There's a song we could, by the way, that reminds me before we get too further much along here, there will be music on this episode. So we have that to look forward to. Mick's going to play a couple of songs from, the show, which I meant, I don't even think I've said the title, and I apologize.
It's called you've said the Irish Goodbye.
Oh, I said an Irish Goodbye, which if people don't know what that is, tough breaks, I don't know what to tell you. It's got a meaning. You got to look it up.
Well, actually in the show, it has a few meanings.
Oh, really?
An Irish Goodbye, it references me becoming an American citizen.
Right.
Finally the green card is gone. I'm a full American. Well, I'm technically dual, in the eyes of the Irish government. I don't think so in the American government, but, so that's a goodbye to Ireland as a home base.
Right.
And also a couple of family members
some
losses. Yeah. That were sudden and they left the party way too soon. And yeah, someone, you know, we should have been paying a little bit more attention.
Right.
You
know? Yeah.
So there's that. It has a few meanings.
Well, and then there is also the expression, which is leaving without saying goodbye.
Yes.
Which, right?
That's how I, you know, you leave the party without, yeah.
Right.
You just don't want the hassle of you know, spending 40 minutes.
I guess I used to pull that quite a bit more back in the day myself, never feeling, just feeling like, it's just easier to slip out. Why are we going through the goodbyes and all that? You know, But you know, then I realized that some people might find it rude. I don't know. But
I've heard different cultures and
have different.
I've heard the English goodbye and the German the Dutch goodbye. They all have the same meaning.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think they use them for their own purpose.
Well, the Jewish goodbye is just hugging for 45 minutes, kissing on the mouth, crying, weeping, leaving, coming back in.
Not kissing on the mouth for 45 minutes.
No. Well, no. I don't think so, but you know.
I might just slip out of here and not say anything.
Don't do goodbyes today. You don't have to worry. But, it's just a lot of, staying way too long past your,
Okay.
Past the point.
So the exact opposite. Yeah.
it's a Jewish goodbye.
But also it's a goodbye because, I say goodbye to my old band. Obviously you said earlier.
Guggenheim Grotto.
Well, try to pronounce.
Mm-hmm.
The Guggenheim Grotto.
Right.
Is there
a "the" in front of it?
There is a "the."
Okay.
Yeah. Not that makes it any easier to say. why we were called the Guggenheim Grotto, you would have to ask an early 20-something me.
Uh-huh.
And if you do find them, send them my way. I want to have a quiet word. Because it's one of the worst names I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, but you're stuck with it. So.
Well, we were stuck with it. Yeah. But
there is a reunion. Come on.
Well, there was a reunion actually last September.
Yeah.
And actually the director of An Irish Goodbye, my great, great friend, Will Chase. You know him as he's the actor Will Chase. He's been in a lot of things, most notably Nashville. And he was just recently in The Crowded Room where he played Tom Holland's father. But he's a brilliant documentarian, brilliant filmmaker, brilliant cinematographer. And he came over to Ireland and actually filmed possibly our last ever show as the Guggenheim Grotto, myself and Kevin May. So, and then he heard I wanted to do this project and he said, oh, I want to direct this. I want to be part of this. So he's been a lifesaver because he's just brilliant to work with and he's so many brilliant ideas and he's making full use of Catspan and it's wonderful. It's very exciting.
Yeah. And it's great to have somebody who's going to bring their perspective and their ideas and, where you don't have, cause you don't do it. And it's great that you're open to the collaborative side of it because you could have a real vision for what you want to do and it could turn out quite good. But then again, you don't know.
Absolutely. And the thing is, because my songs are, they draw from my life. But it's not a linear story. How to make that into, you know, a retrospective of my family and my life. And he's just done brilliantly to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm delighted that he helped me with it because it was an undertaking. But it's come together and I'm really, really proud of it.
Oh, great. And is this the world premiere then?
It's a unique performance. There's only one planned and it's the world premiere and, you know, probably you could call it a dress rehearsal as well. So.
Well, I mean, you know, every show has to have a premiere somewhere at some time. So I'm just, you know, not to say that you need to have it all fleshed out in terms of, you know, an upcoming tour with the show, but it could turn into something.
Oh, absolutely.
Like that, you develop it a little.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing how people react to it. I would love to do this elsewhere, mm-hmm. you know, in other venues. It's just very exciting. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah. Well, again, that's going to be, maybe we should shut that. Okay. Thank you. Just remind people again, this is called An Irish Goodbye, and it will be at Kotzbahn on Saturday, April 20th. At what time?
I believe it starts at 7 p.m.
7 o'clock.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I think doors are at 6.
And how long is my opening, set? I'm kidding around. He's looking at me like I'm nuts.
I was like, what the hell are you talking about?
I just like to crowbar my way into a lot of shows. If, you know, just end up being there when you arrive. Hey, Mick. Good to see you.
Well, it's going to be two acts, and there will be an interval. So it runs about an hour and a half.
That's quite civilized.
In total. Yeah, it's civilized. Right. It ends at a nice time where we can all get to the pub in plenty of time.
Good. Yeah. And again, Kotzbahn is just a fantastic venue. If you haven't been there, just a beautiful spot.
Gorgeous. Yeah. Yeah, idyllic. And they do have a bar, mm-hmm. which is wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Oh, they do have a bar.
They do have a bar.
I did not know that. Yeah, okay. All right. So tell me a little bit, because I don't know this whole period of time, ever before I met you, actually. So I think I met you at the
Hoot Would you Fanny. Like to start from the beginning?
Well.
When a man loves a woman, Adam.
Wait a minute. Start over. What? All right. When did you – let me ask the questions. What were you going to just say? I'm sorry.
I was going to say that the first time I ever was in the States with – or it may not be what you were going to ask. So,
well, no,
you know what? You're right. You should ask the questions.
I was going to say, when did you arrive in the States?
States, the first time I ever touched down in the States was for South by Southwest, mm-hmm. which was the festival. And that was in 2005. So that was St. Patrick's Day in 2005. We were jet lagged. It was the first time. It was myself, Kevin May, and Shane Power. We were the three original members of Guggenheim Grotto.
The Guggenheim Grotto.
And we were getting great traction from our first album, which is called Waltzing Alone, which we independently released back in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
Just so happened, somebody in the States who worked at WXPN in Philadelphia is by the name of Carl Mullen. He happened to be over in Ireland when we released it, bought a copy, bought it home, listened to it, adored it. And he gave it to David Dye at WXPN.
Wow.
David Dye fell in love with it. He gave it to his friend Nick Harcourt at KCRW in LA, who in turn gave it to Rita Houston at WFUV.
Yeah, sure.
And it just took on this life that they were all playing us on the radio. And like, I'm not talking, you know, these were tastemaker radio stations at the time. These broke Adele. These broke Coldplay.
Absolutely.
But the problem was we only independently released it. We had no machinery behind us, and we had all of this exposure, which any major label would have just killed to have if they had like the next big thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
And we were getting this exposure, but we literally couldn't do anything about it. It was strange. It was surreal. And yeah, we spent several years and several albums trying to chase that initial. Like we toured all around the States, and
so when that happened though, there wasn't that you couldn't necessarily. You didn't have the machinery, as you said, behind it, so you probably just did what you could do.
We did what we could do. We were approached by a small record label in New York. We were approached by Fleming Artists in Michigan, who were fantastic. They booked our shows. But again, everything kind of happened a little later than it probably should have. We toured maybe 3 months after like this big, it was all cart before the horse.
Yeah.
You know, marketing. It was strange. And like I said, we could never regain that exposure,
yeah.
And we could never get that back. So, but I'm delighted that it happened. We've been on so many adventures together. I've toured the States.
Mm-hmm.
I've done countless driving. I've seen every state. I've played every venue.
Yeah, yeah.
you know, this sounds like a country song, but it, like I've been all around this country and it has been so good to me and I've enjoyed it so much. The reason I'm here is because of that band. I'm delighted to be living here.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, and so that was again, it was 2000 and...
Yeah, that began in 2005.
2005, your first trip here. And then you obviously came back within a few years and...
Oh yeah, we were over here maybe 6 months each year.
Oh wow.
Like 2005 okay. to, like I met Debs at the tail end of 2010. So it was five solid years of touring in the States. And like we were doing our own shows. We're also doing opening shows. We opened for They Might Be Giants on their tour. We opened for Annie DeFranco. We opened for Ingrid Michaelson, and mm-hmm. that's actually how I met Debs. They're best friends.
Oh, okay.
So.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It was just all so, it's literally the reason I'm here. The reason I met the love of my life. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's, yeah.
Bit amazing, right?
It's been great. But, I moved obviously over full time when I met Debs at the tail end of 2010. We were married in 2011 and we lived in Brooklyn, just at the Barclays Center.
Sure.
In Burken Street.
Mm-hmm.
And that got a, you know, that was a, it was a tough place to live. And one day we said, let's see what upstate it's is like, you know?
Tough because?
Oh, just the construction of the,
literally, we that's were, true. We were by 2011, that's right. They had been, I remember quite well.
Yeah, it was crazy. And so we said, let's try upstate. We also had our good friends, Jeremy and Mary Stu, mm-hmm. who Debs knew before, and we knew they were up here. I'd some good friends, Michael and Andrea of Tangent Theater. They were originally fans of the band. I got to know them really well.
So you just did a show with them, right? Or a reading, didn't you?
I did. I did a reading of The Seafarer by Conor McPherson, which was actually my first, toe dip into acting. And I have to say, well, it was a reading. You know.
Yeah, but still, I've done a couple of those myself.
Yeah.
It still uses a different set of muscles.
It does. It does. But I really enjoyed that experience.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel like it helped prepare you a little bit for what's coming? Because there's this, even though you're yourself in this, it does require, in a sense, to perform and act, even as it might be harder in some ways.
Yeah, there is. I wouldn't say acting, more just I need to know where to be at certain moments because yeah. certain things happen.
Right. So there's
blocking involved, and blocking. Just knowing yeah. which guitar to pick up in time, you know, or yeah, yeah. you know sure. where to be exactly be. I wouldn't say acting, just more
okay.
awareness.
Okay. Speaking of picking up a guitar, could you maybe do us the kindness of picking up your guitar now and playing maybe one of the songs that you're going to be doing at
sure.
the show, Irish Goodbye?
Well, we were just talking about us moving upstate. Mm-hmm. And in 2011, myself and Debs got married. And it was one of the most stressful days of our lives because it was the day of the huge October snowfall, you know, the October, the big nor'easter that happened back in 2011, and we had an outdoor wedding planned.
Oh my God.
And it was an absolute car crash.
Oh
and
dear.
I wanted to reclaim that day
mm-hmm.
As best I could. So this is called The Last Great October Snow. Yeah. Might be a little louder vocally, but I should be fine. Straight across Brooklyn bound, out of Long Beach made no sound. I think it took about 3 days. I was young, but I had faith, yeah. Water's warm, water's cold. Only find out if you're bold. Took a chance, all was new. All I had was I loved you. Though we tend to forget it, there was beauty that day. We may think it a car crash, but time's cleared most of that away. So let's remember the madness. Such a Halloween show. When I took that hand of yours in the last great October snow. Hang a right tattoo you. Shaken by a wrecking crew. We fit our life in that box. Bro,
poke the key right in that lock. Let's head up north, see what we find. To the great upstate of mine. Middle fingers to it all. Just in time to catch the fall. But we tend to forget it. There was beauty that day. We may think it a car crash. But time's cleared most of that away. So let's remember the madness of such a Halloween show. When I took that hand of yours in the last great October snow. That hand of yours in the last great October snow. When I took that hand of yours in the last great October snow. When I took that hand of yours in the cold October snow.
Beautiful. Yeah, that was great. And that's, you're going to be obviously performing that also on Saturday.
Oh yeah.
That's part
of
the show.
That's part
how
of
many,
the show.
How many songs you got for the show?
I think about 15.
What?
15, 16.
15. To play during the show.
Mm.
Oh, I see. So it's really more of a music oriented show.
Oh, it is.
With stories, the kind of in between.
Absolutely. So the in between, you know, what a usual show would be, you know, talk about the song. It's just more of a set piece.
Got it.
Show.
I see. Yeah. Now I understand. I thought maybe it was actually a little bit more on the theatrical side.
No, it's a regular gig.
Okay.
To, you know.
Just with the more prepared, talk or whatever chatter in between.
Exactly.
Got it. Right. It's scripted.
So. It's.
Or is it going to be any level of, I mean, I know what you're prepared for, what you're going to talk about between songs.
It's mostly liquid in that I can, you know, I can say.
And respond to the audience.
Yeah.
Whatever
exactly.
Their
but there are
energy is.
Certain moments that, you know, I'd need to be aware of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Well, you certainly developed a nice rapport with audiences. I mean, I've seen it, last year, of course. I remember very well, like just a very, very natural up there. All those years of Guggenheim and solo.
Well, it's funny in Guggenheim, Kevin, especially at the start, he was very much the driving force,
mm-hmm.
Being the main lyricist. And I was very much the kind of music guy behind. Now we co-wrote a lot of the stuff, but you know, I think when you're the main lyricist, then you're the vibe of, you know, what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So he did a lot of the talking. It was actually a muscle.
Use the banter.
It was actually a muscle that I didn't really use, but I was kind of the interjector with a really funny comment.
Right. Yeah. Sure. Right.
You know,
exactly. The intense guy who says something that you know, maybe unpredictable or insert something.
Exactly.
Effort to break the tension or what have you.
So it is an extra pressure being that main focus.
Yeah.
Because you just have to be very aware all the time.
Yeah. What do you think about like when there a lot of people do banter and it's to break the tension and they can get really funny. What do you think there's it works when you're doing kind of more intense dramatic, well I shouldn't say dramatic, but personal music, personal and then
yeah, like I'm not like as much as some of my material would be it's sad subject, but I find humor actually works best in those situations.
Right.
It almost has a bit of an extra kick to it.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
And even lyrically in a song, you know, something can just flip something on its head and not be as sad as you might think.
Sure.
Yeah, it's hard to explain.
Yeah. No, I get it. I did some some amount of performing in the past myself, and I definitely leaned on my sense of humor, yeah, you know, quite a bit. The name of the show, once again, is called An Irish Goodbye, and it is conceived and performed by Mick Lynch.
Under the direction of the great Will Chase.
I was going to bring up Will Chase again because I did want to ask you what the collaboration looked like, and maybe you can describe some of that.
Yeah, well, Will has, I've known Will for 10 years. He's actually Ingrid's partner.
Ingrid Michaelson?
Ingrid Michaelson.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, very good. I didn't know that. I would have shown him a couple of photos that I have of myself with Ingrid. Nothing untoward.
Glad you clarified.
I really need to think about how I frame things sometimes, you know, get myself in some hot water. No, but I met, not to interrupt you, but I met Ingrid Michaelson years ago. I was supposed to do, it was a Tribeca Film Festival music week. They just hosted this week of music at a club that's no longer in the city downtown. And every night was a different incredible performers like Chris Thiele, and there was Joseph Arthur, and one night it was Ingrid Michaelson and oh darn it, I'm going to forget the other guy's name. He's a great singer songwriter as well. But Ingrid, so, and I pitched to, you remember Paste Magazine? It's still online.
Yeah, we actually went to the offices in Atlanta. We did an interview with them. Yeah,
of course. So anyway, I pitched to Paste. I would cover this whole week of events, and you know. And write up some of the interviews and et cetera, et cetera. So they went for the pitch and I was going every night. It was this great thing. Nick Lowe performed one night and it was in a club that was so small. It was like a dream come true. I'm going to remember more and more of the artists. It was just an incredible lineup, you know, over the course of a week. And, in one night it was Ingrid. I was back in the green room and we were hanging out and she was just so much fun. And we're just hanging out. We did some pictures.
Oh, she's brilliant. She's also hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I could tell. Yeah. She has a great sense of humor.
And she's a fantastic writer and everyone should really check out The Notebook because it's phenomenal.
The Notebook?
Yeah. She just did all the music for The Notebook on Broadway.
Oh wow. Oh yeah. Geez. Okay.
Yeah. And that's, I think been out 3 weeks now and it's fantastic.
Oh great.
Yeah.
Good for her. Yeah, no, she's just fantastic. I love her. I've had a couple of her albums, and I've always really appreciated her. I didn't know, of course, I might have said, you know, something to Will, because we were at the radio station where I work the other day. Mick was there and did a couple of songs, and Will was in on the interview as well.
Yeah, but it's going back to Will and our collaboration.
Yes, please.
Like I said, Will is the friend that I will send. When I just write something, I will send him the voice memo. And go,
oh, nice.
Oh, what'd you think of this? And he's a big fan and he's great to, you know, as a soundboard for stuff.
Yeah.
So he knows my stuff very well. And when I said I wanted to do another show, he was like, oh, this could be something else, you know, cause he's very much from the, you know, he's very much theatrical. He's an amazing Broadway actor. So he knows that craft. And he said, we could do something really cool in that space.
Right.
So I kind of gave him a sketching of, you know, I gave him every song I have and we kind of put a few narratives together and kind of whittled it down to, oh, this actually works. And, you know, if we do this here, you know, so it was very collaborative, loads of emails, loads of, you know, late phone calls and loads of texts, you know, later.
Yeah.
We had the bones of I say script. It's not, you know, a theater script. It's a skeleton.
Sure.
For a
framework.
A really nice musical show.
So did the, are you saying the songs in a way drove the narrative or was it the other way around?
The songs drove the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And again, the last couple of years and my family history, I've written a lot of songs about, you know, siblings who have passed. So they are moments, within the narrative, but there's also, you know, joyous moments. I sing about my mother. I sing about my dad. You know, it's not all doom and gloom.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. And, you know, we can all use a occasional dose of
well, you know what?
Of gloom.
I think I said it at another interview. It pays to be very specific sometimes because when you try to write something that, oh, everyone's going to find this amazing, you know, it's generally a dud. Like you need to get into the nitty gritty. You need to sing what you know, write about what you know, and people will take from that what they want to take from that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your story is your story, and that's the best you can do. So I wasn't scared of getting into the nitty gritty of, you know, family dynamics and stuff that have happened and the reasons they happened. So yeah, I wrote about what I knew, and that's always been part of my songs.
Yeah. And of course people will always connect to that.
I like to paint scenes in my songs.
Yeah.
I don't mean this badly. I'm not a wishy-washy. What's that song about? You know, you tend to know what my songs are about.
I get it.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. They don't necessarily tend to, what's the right way of putting it, but, indulge in metaphor or, what have you, a little bit.
I'm trying to think now. Maybe I do. At certain spots, you do a bit of everything, you know?
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
But the overreaching arc would be, it's very what I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it. Well, hopefully you'll do another song for us, maybe.
Yeah, I will. It's one of the more recent ones I wrote, and it's actually, I was reminded, myself and Kev used to do a lot of pub cover gigs in Dublin before we were Guggenheim.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that kind of solidified our musical language that we had together. And I was reminded recently on a drive into the city, we were stuck in traffic and just flicking through the stations. You know, as you get close to the city, the presets kind of get out of range and mm-hmm. you end up searching through, you know,
sure.
the outskirts in the Bronx while you're stuck on some Kosciuszko Bridge or something.
This is a great guy. This is a guy who's really supports radio. I like that.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, and I searched and nothing good, and then the song just came on. I was like, oh well, this is bringing me right back.
Mm-hmm.
And the song in that came on was the obsession of an elderly patron of a pub we used to do in North Dublin, and her name was Rose, and she wouldn't shut up for the whole gig till you played this song. For nobody knew why. She was a character. People were kind of scared of her, but she was just one of those. She was in her 80s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
like no teeth, just at the bar, you know, drinking her whiskeys and just being cantankerous. And then as soon as that song was played, she'd either leave or she'd just be quiet.
Wow.
She just wanted to be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
That was her character.
Mm.
So, yeah, I wrote this song about her.
I like this one.
Hey Rose, they're playing your song. Sitting here in traffic and it just came on. Dear Rose, hope you're doing well. Trust you made it up there and given them hell. Sweet Rose, your petals were torn. It's only natural you'd grow a few thorns. The grin of a killer, no tooth in that head. You'd rip them all to ribbons with the gems you said. Can see you now, three doubles deep, screaming, what's this crap? As we sing Creep, yeah, blood will boil, Rose will see red, if the next one ain't heaven by the talking heads. Why, Rose, when it was played, did all of that anger magically fade? Brave souls would venture to pry, but they'd soon regret it, so I never did try. Queen Rose, the rumors flew, some of which I found a little cruel to you. No doubt you played your part, but you'd never be unkind to a broken heart. Can see you now, three doubles deep, screaming, what's this crap? As we sing Creep, yeah, blood will boil, Rose will see red, if the next one ain't heaven by the talking heads. Who'd you love? Who'd you lose? Were you a mother? Were you their muse? Look at me, still seeking answers. We'll never know. see you now, three doubles deep, screaming, what's this crap? As we sing Creep, yeah, blood will boil, rose will see red, if the next one ain't Heaven by the Talking Heads. Can see you now, three doubles deep, screaming, what's this crap? As we sing Creep, yeah, blood will boil, rose will see red, if the next one ain't Heaven by the Talking Heads. Poor Rose, hope you found peace. I'm so glad we were some relief. And as if to say you're doing okay. Daydreaming by Aretha plays.
Mick Lynch there, who again will be performing his one-man show of music and monologue. No, stories. Colorful
stories, yeah.
Autobiographical banter.
Autobiographical banter.
There you go. Autobio banter. At Katzbahn on Saturday, April 20th. I'll be there with my partner. We're coming.
Fantastic.
So we'll be there. Yeah. So maybe we'll grab one of those drinks afterwards.
I thought you were grabbing those free tickets that Casey you were getting. Okay.
That is even a little tacky for me. I wouldn't put it past me, actually. Okay. Well, we know where you're going to be that Saturday. What happens on Sunday, Mick? What's coming up? Not to put you on the spot, but, do you have some ideas and plans for your, what's to come next? What's the next chapter? Cause this, I imagine, has taken a lot of your time and obviously, creative energy over the past months or what have you. And it may continue on some level since you do have a plan to hopefully continue performing it.
Absolutely. I would love to. I personally need to do more shows of my own stuff. Mm-hmm. I kind of got lazy upstate.
Well,
you know,
it's the life of a farmer.
It's, yeah.
The countryman.
And I love writing. So I continue to write songs. If there's any managers and agents out there who'd like to contact me, I would love to do more shows around the area. So
yeah. And there are a lot of venues, you know.
Yeah, and
of various sizes.
I do need to reach out more to and play more of my own stuff. Yeah. So Mick Lynch official@gmail.com. Give me an email.
Good plug. So thank you for this, and maybe we can even do a song together. I'm trying to think. We've played together, of course, at the Hootenanny, and maybe we can think of a song to do.
Would it be one you'd like to sing?
I could do harmonies, or I could, we'll figure it.
Well, the one we actually did at the show was Sylvia's Mother.
Oh, right. I haven't done that one in a little while, but I think we might be able to manage it.
Okay, yeah.
Let's give it a shot.
Let's give it a shot.
Great. All right. Well, that was my conversation with musician, songwriter Mick Lynch right here on Film Wax on Radio Free Rhinecliff. I just want to thank everybody, Matt Mercier, for coming in and engineering that episode. I want to thank, of course, producers Maddie Rosenberg and Jen Hamoud for their work, and for all the various hosts and guests and all the listeners in the community out there of Radio Free Rhinecliff. It's a very special community of people, and I appreciate being part of it and FilmWax being part of it. We have another special episode this week with Larry Fessenden, who, in addition to being a film producer, director, screenwriter, actor, I mean, he's the ultimate multi-hyphenate. He has a production company called Glass Eye Picks. And he not only additionally lives in New York City, but has a home and has had a home for many years right outside Woodstock in Hurley. And he is a regular on the show. So look for that episode as well. He has a brand new movie called Blackout, which is kind of a reimagining, an updated version of the werewolf story from, you know, way back, made it a really believable contemporary story. It's a lot of fun. Again, it's called Blackout, and I'm just putting that out there. All right, well, listen, I'm going to play you this song. Mick Lynch hung out for a little longer. We did this song together. The mix is a little bit funky because, of course, we're not in a recording, we're not in a music recording studio. And I really have to thank Matt for doing a solid job for us. And this is just a little bonus tune that Mick and I did together. It's a classic called Sylvia's Mother, performed by Dr. Hook back in the day. I hope you enjoy it. You're listening to Film Wax right here on Radio Free Rhinecliffe.
Sylvia's mother said, Sylvia's busy, too busy to come to the phone. Sylvia's mother said, Sylvia's trying to start a new life on her own. Sylvia's mother said, Sylvia's happy, so why won't you leave her alone? And the operator said, 40 cents more for the next 3 minutes. Mrs. Avery, I just gotta talk to her. I'll only keep her a while. Please, Mrs. Avery, I just wanna tell her goodbye.
Sylvia's mother says, Sylvia's packing, she's just gonna be leaving today. Sylvia's mother says, Sylvia's marrying the fella down Galveston way. Sylvia's mother says, please don't say nothing to make her start crying and stay. And the operator says, 40 cents more for the next 3 minutes. Please, Mrs. Avery, I just gotta talk to her. I'll only keep her a while. Please, Mrs. Avery, I just wanna tell her goodbye. Sylvia's mother says, Sylvia's hurrying, she's catching the 9 o'clock train. Sylvia's mother says, take your umbrella, Sylvia's starting to rain. Sylvia's mother says, thank you for calling, and sir, won't you call back again? And the operator said, 40 cents more for the next 3 minutes. Please, Mrs. Avery, I just gotta talk to her. I'll only keep her a while. Please, Mrs. Avery, I just wanna tell her goodbye. Please, Mrs. Avery, I just gotta talk to her. I'll only keep her a while. Please, Mrs. Avery, I just wanna tell her goodbye. 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 Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mick.
Goodbye, Adam.
This has been extraordinary.